Hi everyone.
Hello.
Hi, this is our last week of Rebuilders.
It's been amazing.
It's been good doing this with you. It's been good hearing your feedback and stories. Not as much as we normally would have in real life, you know, or this is real life, isn't it? But in person. So, you know, very much this is a, rather than a 6 week course, this is a lifestyle, isn't it? Following Jesus. And these tools are really to keep on using, to keep on working out. So, you know, we've been teaching this and doing this stuff for, you know, 15 years, and we still find fresh stuff in it each time. And as we're doing the course now, together with you, we're more attentive to our stuff, and we're working on stuff more proactively, which is great. So this is a thing for always. And so on Sunday, Alice spoke Nehemiah chapter 5, and it was great timing with the with where we're at as a nation and globally, in fact, with racial injustice, wasn't it? Because we planned that. That will be the chapter 5 talk on the kingdom advancing in Nehemiah like 6 weeks ago, you know, before George Floyd happened and started all of that momentum on this. So that was really encouraging for how much that chapter speaks into the current time. And we focused on that rather than so much the content of the living free. And we're gonna highlight a few of those things now and give a bit of examples. But do, you know, look through the manual starting at page 87. It's on the kingdom advancing. I think this is almost my favourite bit. This is about, you know, this change of posture that we get. People who've been transformed by Jesus and are ongoing being, you know, continuing to be transformed. And we move from, we recognise this change in posture from being a sort of a victim of our circumstance to actually an overcomer who is joining with Jesus in seeing his kingdom come on earth. That's the change. And this is really some highlights, some ways and some tools that we can live that out in everyday life. And I just start off with, we're going to go through some of the sections in this chapter. To start off with a recognition for myself from yesterday. And I think, you know, what's so helpful about part of this is it helps to sensitize us to our brokenness and our sin so that we can then be free from it. So Alice and I had a meeting yesterday, and I occasionally change people's names a little bit. I call Rob Douglas Roberto, I call Ben Watson Benjamin, or various other things, and just in a friendly, affectionate way, just change a few names sometimes. But I changed the name of the person we were meeting with yesterday, and I thought, oh, there's a bit of an edge to that afterwards. They might have noticed it, they might not even have noticed it. But my takeaway as I went for my walk this morning was, oh, that wasn't actually very good. What was it that made me have that attitude or just be slightly cutting? I mean, they may not even have noticed it, but I noticed it in myself. And so I sort of asked the Lord, and it was like, okay. And I realised that actually there was some fear in that meeting from my point of view. I was trying to move things in a certain direction. I was trying to control stuff. And and it manifested in this slight edge of me cutting this person down. Yeah, I need to give them a call after this. We've just been talking about it now, and Alice actually said she noticed it in the meeting. So it was less subtle than I thought it was. But you know, it's great to be aware of these things, and I can now phone them up and apologise and ask for their forgiveness. But you know, it's good. It's an opportunity for freedom. It's a bit humbling on my part, but that's fine. That's good humbling. So that really ties in with our first one, which is about keep using the five R's. So that's on page 88. How do we keep advancing the kingdom? We keep on repenting, we keep on forgiving as a lifestyle. And hopefully you're becoming more sensitive and aware of what's going on. We're going to jump over the gatekeeping bit. You can read that. But we're going to go straight on to words of life and blessing. And this would be... a game changer. It's been a game changer for us at Hope. Total game changer. And it's a wonderful way actually that you can straight away, I mean, you are already, I'm sure, I don't mean that unless, you know, this isn't something you're just about to start for the first time, but this is a really significant way that we can change the culture of our workplaces, communities that we live, family, extended families or whatever. The English way is to be cutting, isn't it? You know, that's and a bit sarcastic, a bit dry, and with that, an edge, a bit edge to it, to us. We're self-deprecating. But really what we see in the scripture is not that. So Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only words that build each other up. That's Ephesians 4:29. Build each other up, encourage, edify. And James talks about the tongue being a sort of a powerful weapon almost to bring life or death. And so, you know, for a long time now, we just have a policy. Having told you my story about this meeting yesterday, but that was very, very subtle, and I wasn't even aware of it at the time. It was my little stronghold just leaking out there. But you know, as a general practice, we don't join in with sarcasm and that kind of negative banter, but deliberately only speak words that build people up. You know, it's quite fun sometimes to press into that discomfort level of saying to someone, I just so appreciate who you are.
Yeah.
I really love the way you do this. You know, showing those kind of encouragements and speaking those kind of words of life to people who aren't Christians, mm-hmm. just, you know, it's a wonderful way of and then when they cut themselves down, you know, just and say, actually, no, it's not me. Because actually, it really is. And it's just lovely to be able to love in an intentional way like that with our words. So that's a great challenge and a great thing to encourage you to move in, is being someone who speaks blessing and builds people up with your words. Alice, do you want to do our next one, Becoming Unoffendable, number four?
Yeah, so this was massive for me, Becoming Unoffendable. When I first heard this, I had no idea that I never needed to take offence. Like a lot of our culture, I was offended and thought things could offend me and I could be offended and that's so offensive, and I thought it was okay to vent and rant about various things that I found difficult and process. And then this person teaching into it just said, we never need to take offence. And I was like, wow, what a revelation, what liberation. There is a very specific caveat in 1 Corinthians 13 on love. Love is not easily offended. And I think there is a time and a place after much consideration and thoughtfulness where it is right to say, actually, that's fundamentally wrong and to take offence in the right way. But fundamentally, in the day-to-day living of our day-to-day relationships, we never need to take offence. It's just an incredible liberation. And for me, that's part of, there's some words that Chris has used, which I feel capture the heart condition of someone who is partnering with the kingdom advancing. There's words like discomfort, overcomer. I've been thinking recently about Jesus's teaching, the broad way, the wide road leads to destruction, but there's a narrow road that leads to life. In fact, in Revelation, overcomer is the identity of the new people of God in all the letters in Revelation. So it's a narrow road, it's an overcoming, it's a discomfort. And I think spiritual fitness, we've talked about this at all, fitness is a very helpful example for this. There is a zone we enter into which is uncomfortable, but we know when we hit that zone we're actually getting more fit physically. And I think that's exactly the same spiritually. So everything we're talking about, everything the whole course has talked about, will be encouraging us into a zone which feels narrow rather than broad, which feels almost to the point of crucifixion rather than just trying to walk around the cross, which feels like there's something to overcome and which feels challenging. But actually, that is the only place the kingdom advances. There isn't any other route. And I think Jesus is very wise when he says the broad road leads to destruction, the easy path, the path of least resistance, kills ourselves, kills our relationships, our future, our dreams. It kills everything, but there's a narrow road of perseverance, of tenacity, of humility, of forgiveness, of taking personal responsibility, of willing to go to those uncomfortable places and having those uncomfortable conversations, all those things in the Spirit of God that actually we break through into life. And childbirth is another example of that. There are labour pains to the point where you think you're going to die, and then you break through into new life. And Jesus actually uses that as an example in John 14, just before his crucifixion, as an example of what it is to follow him. So we really, to encourage you, those of you who actually are in an overcoming posture, you know there are things you're overcoming, there are things of pain, maybe in your past, or there are things that are challenging in your current situations. Actually, that is the sweet spot of transformation. There isn't a place on earth where we're lounging around on our lilo on a swimming pool. Yes, there's a place of peace and joy we can have it, but we'll never get out of the challenge zone, because that's the place of transformation. And it's about almost making peace with it is what it is, and actually even going to a place of gratitude, because the broad road really does lead to destruction, the path of least resistance. And if we take the example of what we're talking about race, is a brilliant, so Chris has talked about personal examples, we'll talk about more of a global cultural example. I think we've come to a point now in history where it's not enough just to say, I'm not a racist. There's an invitation to intentionally pour in, honour, heal, listen to, and build up racial integration and multiculturalism, multiracial communities. Just there's something richer he wants us to go into. And to me, that absolutely sums up the kingdom advancing. It's not settling for the status quo. It is the idea that silence is violence. When we don't say stuff and when we don't do stuff, we're actually colluding with where the enemy is saying stuff and doing stuff.
Mm.
But if we say what God gives us to say in both our personal lives and in these larger cultural and global contexts, and we do what God is telling us to do, because the kingdom advances in our material bodies. God was incarnate in Christ. He wasn't floating up in the ether somewhere. He did the work of the kingdom advancing in human form and human body. If we do those things, then we actually go through that discomfort and the challenge, and we come out to the other side and we go, yeah, I can see the good governance of God. The kingdom is advancing on earth as it is in heaven. And a really, really key process, an absolute key for me, was that point, becoming unoffendable. I just made a choice to, I was incredibly defensive, and I'm sure I still am when people point stuff out that's wrong with me. I'm not saying I'm through it, but I'm aware enough now to know I can be undefended. I can just listen, weigh it up. If it sits right as a challenge, deal with it. And if it doesn't, bless that other person and move on my way. I don't need to be defensive, and I don't need to be easily offended.
Or restricting our relationships or shut down to certain people or anything.
Yeah, there are no taboo subjects
in
those close relationships. There's permission to say everything. There's freedom. And it's such a liberating way to live. So we just encourage, we want everyone in our community at Hope to be comfortable with the discomfort, with the hard questions, the challenging questions, knowing that it's couched in love, that we only use words of life and blessing, that we're all about personal transformation and breakthrough, and not about settling for second best by colluding passively with the status quo. So this is about transformation, about taking territory, about going that extra mile, entering to that narrow road, which actually really does deliver on leading into life in all its fullness.
Let's do a bit on forgiveness as well. So that's the fifth point on page 92. And that testimony by Liz was just really rich, wasn't it?
Incredible.
And this is a confidential one, but someone who's with us on this, or this all on this journey, shared how for them, they saw someone who'd really hurt them in the past, recently, last week, and it just threw them back into a place of real pain and trauma that had come from that hurt from that person. And again, the option is there, isn't it? What do you do? Just walk away and and find that painful. But they actually, you know, pressed in, decided not to take offence. And and work through some of the forgiveness stuff in here in the manual, page 68, was it, something like that, on the how about and how to forgive, and or how to part the five R's, and experience their real freedom, a step change from where they were before, such that they could look at a person, a picture of this person, and not feel it in the same way, be able to bless them. You know, it's still not an easy relationship, but a significant change. And that's great. This is it. This is living it.
Yeah. We talk often about not striving in Christian community, don't we? And it's a gospel of grace. I think if we're going to talk about work, this is the hard work. The hard work is humbling ourselves. The hard work is trusting God. The hard work is not allowing shame to come into our life. The hard work is forgiving. The hard work is bringing things into the light. All those things, that's the works of faith that bring the breakthrough, not the endless busyness, the endless tasks, the endless tick boxing of good works. It's the work of faith that says, I trust that it is through this process of the cross, of repentance and forgiveness, through this process of allowing God to guide me and go his narrow path, that I actually become transformed into his likeness. So in some ways we do less, but what we do is more effective. And for that person, that person could have had an intensely outwardly productive life for many, many years. But actually, that one work he did will bear fruit forever, and that thing will be dealt with, and that's the difference. It's in those moments, having the spiritual and mental fitness to go, I choose life, even though it crucifies the flesh, I choose life at this point in time. We will enter into life, and that's what we want for all of us at Hope.
And these are, as we've said so many times, these are the building blocks with which we rebuild society. Mm. And yeah. We got heaps of stories from people through Hope over the years. You know, Hope's the place we know the best. Mm. I'm sure there are stories all over the place, all over the church. But but of relationships, families, communities, workplaces being changed by people living this stuff, by yeah, words of life that totally. It's had real impact on families mm. and on workplaces. The way that authority's been, Dave Peregrine's done a talk a little while ago now about living this kind of honouring of authority mm. and how that's, you know, really just worked in his yeah. work in his workplace. Mm. Marvin talks in terms of the city, speaking words of life through the city, you know, that's mm. kind of that's come, he's got that from the Living Free teaching
yeah.
And he's been encouraging the church across the city to put positive stories, share positive stories with the city, and that's mm. again looking to change the culture of the city. I've been reading this book about John Wesley, and mm. He was a Christian man back in the sort of 18th century. Many people will say that the revival that he had was a key part of stopped the UK from kind of civil war. Mm. But it wonderfully, so the Methodist Church was the church, the denomination that was sort of formed. And back in the day then, it was a really, really passionate disciples, followers of Jesus in that church. And it said this bit here, basically that employers, industrialists, factories and so on, were really keen to, they would just look to employ Methodists because they knew they would be yeah. amazing
yeah.
Employees. They knew they'd be the best people to employ. I just think that's a great taster of you know, the design on us as Christians is to mm-hmm. be that salt, to be that yeah. light, and wherever we are, bringing the good news and sharing it through our the culture mm-hmm. that we carry. So let's finish there and we'll pray. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you again.
Yeah, we do.
And we just say, so grateful to know you mm-hmm. and to be able to follow you. And Holy Spirit, we just yield to you and give you our lives and say, lead us. We just continue to say yes to you. Please, you know, search us and know us and do everything, you know, bring about every change in us, and through that, change the world around us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
And as we've heard from that, when we do it, when we work, do these works of faith, then everything works. We get jobs, people's work gets blessed, life works. Life flourishes in all its fullness. Families work, workplaces work, everything works when we live our lives through the cross into the resurrection.
Great. We'll finish there.
Lots of love.
Bye.
The kingdom advance
Amen.
And through all of us.